Blog Talk Radio.
Monet and left foot.
Allah, the beneficent, the merciful, I bear witness that there is no God but Allah, who came to us in the person of Master Farah Muhammad, and I bear witness that the Honorable Elijah Muhammad is indeed his messenger. I further bear witness that the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan is our divine reminder, leader, teacher, guide, warner, comforter in our midst, And it is my distinct honor to be back with you once again and greet you all in our nation's greeting words of peace. Assalamu alaikum.
Alaikum salam.
Thank you, dear brother, and welcome back to Conscious Black Nation. Now, I hope that no one was thrown off guard or taken aback by our subject matter tonight, our topic, the forbidden pig, because I know those of you who saw me advertising on Facebook initially thought we were going to talk about how to eat to die. That was the impression I was under, so I put this big old nasty pig up on this thing. But Brother Kareem was going to take us in another direction with that, as only he could tie those two things together, the pig and self-righteousness. Oh, boy, I can't wait to get into this one. But thank you all so very much for joining us, and I will not delay any further. Presenting our host for the night, my dear brother, my friend, my backbone, Vice President of Nation Building Network, Brother Kareem Muhammad. Assalamu alaikum, sir.
Wa alaikum salam, Queen Aziza. And first and foremost, yes, in the name of Allah. And since you've already opened this, we're already in and we're doing it in the name of Allah, but I do have to say in the name of Allah, and I want to ask you, how are you doing this evening, Queen?
I am blessed by Allah's grace, permission. I thank Allah for today and life and every blessed moment. So I am well with no complaints. All praises due to Allah.
All praises are indeed due to Allah. And yes, just as you said, our topic tonight, taken from the restrictive law of Islam, as given to us by Master Farad Muhammad, through what we call, or we lovingly say, the teachings of the Most Honorable Elijah Muhammad. It's point number 4 of the restrictive law, wherein it states, it is forbidden to eat the pig or its byproducts. And as you said, you put in parentheses, self-righteousness, correct, because we're going to be dealing with that along with many other spiritual diseases, or what I consider to be spiritual filth, as I would say. But we are going to start by talking about the words of the Most Honorable Elijah Muhammad in the book How to Eat to Live concerning the physical animal, and then we're going to go higher into the subject, because many of us, I found, we get tied up and we lose ground, we lose the momentum that we should have by getting stuck strictly, I'll say, in the material, if you will, or only looking at it from one perspective. So, again, I want to thank you for allowing me this opportunity to serve, as always. And anyone that knows us here at Nation Building Network, here on Conscious Black Nation, we don't waste any time getting into our topic, and we're going to start by laying a foundation, a scriptural foundation, a scriptural base. Coming first from the Holy Quran Sharif, Maulana Muhammad Ali translation, you'll find it in chapter 2, and it's ayat or verse 173. A'udhu billahi minash shaitanir rajim. We seek refuge in Allah against the accursed Shaitan or Satan. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. In the name of Allah, the Beneficent, the Merciful. Allah states, He has forbidden you only what dies of itself and blood and the flesh of swine, and that over which any other name than that of Allah has been invoked. Then we want to go to Surah or chapter 6 of the Holy Quran. And it's going to be ayat or verse 121, wherein Allah states, and that surah, by the way, is entitled The Cattle. Allah states, and eat not of that on which Allah's name has not been mentioned, and that is surely a transgression. And certainly the devils inspire their friends to contend with you. And if you obey them, you will surely be polytheists. Next, we want to go to the Bible. And it's in several places. However, the best description that is given, or the most, well, yes, the best description, I'll say it that way, about not eating, physically eating the swine, quote unquote, is in the book of Deuteronomy. It's chapter 14, verse 8, wherein it states, "And the swine, because it divideth the hoof, yet cheweth not the cud, it is unclean unto you. Ye shall not eat of their flesh, nor touch their dead carcass." Moving forward, we want to go to the book of Isaiah. And in the book of Isaiah, chapter 65, verses 2 through 4, it states, "I have spread out my hands all the day unto a rebellious people, which walketh in a way that was not good after their own thoughts, a people that provoketh me to anger continually to my face, that sacrificeth in gardens and burneth incense upon altars of brick, which remain among the graves and lodge in the monuments, which eat swine's flesh and broth of abominable things is in their vessels." Then in the book of Isaiah also, chapter 66, verse 17, it states, "They that sanctify themselves and purify themselves in the gardens behind one tree in the midst, eating swine's flesh, and the abomination and the mouth shall be consumed together, saith the Lord." And then finally, in the book of Matthew, chapter 15, starting in verse 16, it states, "And Jesus said, Are ye also yet without understanding? Do not ye yet understand that whatsoever entereth in at the mouth goeth into the belly and is cast out into the draught? But those things which proceed out of the mouth come forth from the heart, and they defile the man. For out of the heart proceed evil thoughts, murders, adulteries, fornications, thefts, blasphemies. These are the things which defile a man, but to eat with unwashing hands defileth not a man." Surely Allah speaks the truth. And yes, our topic tonight is, as I stated earlier, coming from the restrictive law of Islam given to us by the Most Honorable Elijah Muhammad, it is forbidden to eat the pig or its byproducts. So in order to understand that, first we want to clear in the Dianetic terminology, or define, as I was raised to do as a child, define words. And according to the restrictive law of Islam, is our success by the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan, wherein he defines the word pig. It says, "Pig or swine, any of several mammals of the family Suidae, including hog and boar, having short legs, cloven hooves, bristly hair, and a cartilaginous pardon me, snout used for digging. The edible parts of one of these mammals, informal. A person regarded as being pig-like, greedy, or gross. And byproduct is described or defined as something produced in the making of something else. A secondary result, a side effect." Okay, so now having laid that base, I want to say this before I go further. Everyone that's in the chat room, everyone that's on the line, this is an audience-driven, audience-based program. So your participation is greatly appreciated. We would like for you to press 1 on your dial pad if you're on the phone and join into this discussion. It is forbidden to eat the pig or its byproducts. And we are going to, like I say, self-righteousness is one of those byproducts of consuming the pig. Queen Aziza.
Yes, sir.
All right. Do we have our panelists yet at all?
No, sir. But we have someone with their hand up.
Okay, well, let's bring them in before we get off into this.
Okay. Area code 706, your mic is live.
Assalamu alaikum, this is Brother Eddie.
Wa alaikum salam, sir.
Salam.
Oh, praise is due to Allah. How you feeling, God?
Good. Just getting the house. I got your message. I was gonna call in tonight, cause so I'm just getting settled in, and I got in right between the reading from the Bible.
Praise be to Allah. Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Sam.
Well, we're glad to have you, black man. And for those who don't know who this is our beloved brother, Brother Eddie X. Just for those who don't know you, brother, just give them a little information about yourself, because you know we're going to roll.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Well, my name is Brother Eddie X out of Augusta, Georgia Study Group. I serve in the prison reform ministry in the state of Georgia. Other than that, just OI and taking on the challenges of nation and family, and yeah, that's pretty much it. Nation and family.
Praise be to Allah, yes, sir.
So between those things, that's part of what I do. Nobody special, just a brother. Just a brother.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Praise be to Allah. Well, I'm very glad to have you with us, brother. Very glad. And so without further ado, we're going to roll on into this. And as you, I'm sure you're aware, you heard me say it several times, I'm just going to say it one more time. Our topic is, it's taken from the restrictive law of Islam, point number 4, wherein it states, it is forbidden to eat the pig or any of its byproducts. You know, and we're going to start out dietary, quote unquote. However, we want to go deeper into that because there's much more to it based on the teachings of the Most Honorable Elijah Muhammad and what the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan is also giving us at this time. So I have a question for you, brother. And the first question I have for you is, what is the pig?
Islam 101.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
But physically, the swine is grafted from the rat, cat, and the dog. You know, we have been taught in the history, that when Musa, half-original man and a prophet, was sent into the hills and cave sides of Europe to civilize the Caucasian, who, when we study the history, he's the only man to have been in any caves. When Musa was sent in, it was far too filthy. So they left their bodies laying in the cave. They left their feces, and there was a lot of sickness in the cave. So Musa said, well, this is nasty. This is not going to work. So he went back. And so we made a creature, being the scientist people that we are, we made a creature with 3 natures that would go in and clean up. And so it ate bodies. It ate, I don't know if anybody's ever seen swine, anybody from the South, you already know, but it eats anything, and that's not a cliche, it eats anything, and so it did that, and it was also designed to have a lot of poison in it, so it was designed to be able to create medicines which are poison, And that poison is used to combat the poison that comes from, that came from the filthy nature of their loss of the knowledge that we had gave them. Also, their weaker genetic nature created more diseases. So that's the swine. It was never meant to be consumed. Nothing so poisonous, nothing so filthy should be consumed, because we're also taught that you take on the nature of that which you consume. And there comes the spiritual aspect of swine. You know, Jesus, when he was casting out demons, he cast them out into swine. What does that mean? It doesn't necessarily mean that any spirits jumped into the animal per se. But those demons in us, those shortcomings in us, are like the swine. They're a lesser character. They're the filth. They're the sin. It's death. And so spiritually, we can become like the swine. We can become greedy, lustful, envious, promiscuous. The swine does not have pores. It cannot sweat out filth, so it harbors filth in the body. In our communities, we've become like swine. We harbor filth without civilization. We're just squealing and squirming and looking for the next slop trough, either the slop trough of entertainment, even the slop trough in our religious houses, slop trough in family. We love filth. We love indecency. So this is the swine. So the swine is forbidden. The physical swine and its forbidding is for our physical purity, but it's an exercise as well against spiritual swine, because you don't necessarily always have to eat swine to take on or show some of its characteristics in greed, you know, in lust. These are the spiritual swine or figurative swine. So the swine is forbidden.
Yes, sir. Praise be to Allah. Thank you.
Yep.
Yes, sir. Excellent. Excellent. I mean, I couldn't have described it better myself. All praise is due to Allah. All right. Now, I want to share with you and with the rest of our listening audience from the book, book number one, How to Eat to Live, by the Most Honorable Elijah Muhammad. It's on page, starts on page 13. The Honorable Elijah Muhammad states this. The name of this particular chapter, it's a very short chapter, is entitled, Why They Urge You to Eat the Swine. The Honorable Elijah Muhammad states, the taking of the prohibited flesh of the swine as a food is beyond righteous imagination. It is difficult to understand why Christians eat such divinely prohibited flesh while having a Bible and the law given to Moses against the swine flesh. Other prophets down to Muhammad preached against the eating of the swine. Christians are among the largest consumers of pork in America, and they deliver this rat throughout the world to other people. They are so fond of swine flesh that they sacrifice it in the church and then ask divine blessing upon it. They barbecue and cook it and hold a feast in their places of worship and eat this slow death poisonous animal, which God has forbidden, as though they had an option with God. No wonder Isaiah says that they stand behind one tree in the garden, eating swine flesh, the abomination, the mouth, and the broth of the swine in their vessels. And yet they will tell all the Muslims and Orthodox Jews that they are holier than we who don't dare even to touch the swine's carcass. Preachers and priests are working along with the enemy or adversary of God, teaching the people that it is all right to eat swine. Their bellies stretched with the hog in them and saturated with the whiskey and wine. This is the type of religion under which you have been brought. Christianity and its preachers and priests, none of them have tried to prevent you from breaking this divine law by teaching you the consequences of such an act.
You know, that's the first thing I want to share. And I'm going to come moving right along. I'm going to ask you, Brother Eddie, this second question. What is a byproduct?
The byproduct is that which is derived. It's something that is produced from a thing. So, in best layman, because I'm not a near defining text, back to the physical. The physical byproducts, let's say, of swine, mono and diglycerides, the product that they use in like gummy bears and gummy snacks, gelatin. These are byproducts, meaning they come from the swine. They're made largely from swine. So we don't need the meat of the swine, but we also need things that come and are made from it, because it is in essence still that thing. It still carries the poison, so we don't consume it for food by any means or any use at all. What are the spiritual byproducts? The spiritual things that come from a swine mentality? Those can be seen in our condition. I would say that those could be seen in the results of our lives that come from swine-like activity, swine-full pleasures. You know, the conditions of, just think personally, the lack of character that we have of spiritual refinement and emotional refinement comes as byproducts of swine, of a swine mentality. So we have no respect for one another. Lack of respect, disrespect can be considered a byproduct of a swine mentality or a swine spirit. Lack of self-control can be considered a byproduct of a swine mentality. Lack of respect for the woman can come from the mental, the media swine flesh, you know, the MTV pork chop. The lack of CNN bacon can come from. So, to wrap the byproduct, it's simply that which is produced from that. So it does not necessarily have to be it itself. You know, our women, for example, I would try to put it this way. We don't walk through life or go down the street in a music video. We don't. You know, there's no music playing. There are no cameras. There are no lights. There's no editing. But you see the same things, the excessive ornateness of jewelry and pride and the language and even the dress. We see it, those byproducts of living and existing in our communities and in the world itself. So consuming the manufactured image, as gelatin is manufactured, consuming the manufactured image on television has created the real life byproduct or the result of consuming that, if that makes any sense.
Yes, sir. Praise be to Allah. All right. And I believe another panelist has joined us. Assalamu alaikum, Brother Reginald. Are you there?
Yes, sir. Wa alaikum salam.
Yes, sir. All praise is due to Allah. Well, present yourself to the listening audience, sir. Tell them a little bit about yourself.
My name is Reginald Muhammad. I'm from Jacksonville, Florida. Study group number 66. I don't know what else to say, bro.
Well, that's sufficient, black man. You identified yourself, so that's all that counts.
Yes, sir. Yes,
you know, our topic tonight is, it is forbidden to eat the pig or its byproducts.
Yes, sir.
All praise is due to Allah. And on that note, see, you came in right on point, because we had question number three, and you know, if you want to address questions one and two, just let me know. However, we had question number three, and I wanted to ask that question of you, since you hot off the presses now, and that question is, why is it forbidden to eat the pig or its byproduct? I mean, you know, and before you answer that, I mean, I want to say, because, you know, I have people all the time that come to me and tell me, well, you know, when I mentioned the law that we read earlier out of Deuteronomy, or the instruction out of Deuteronomy chapter 14, verse 8, wherein it states, and the swine, because it cleaveth the hoof, but cheweth not the cud, it is unclean unto you. Ye shall neither eat them nor touch it, their dead carcass. And many times when I talk to, you know, my Christian brothers and sisters, you know, the first thing they want to say to me is, well, you know, we're not under the law anymore. We're under grace. And so all I got to do is bless it and, you know, and say a prayer over it, you know, and then it's fine. Or, well, they told me cook it real well, you know, and they say, you know, it's all right to eat it. So I'm asking you, you know, why is it forbidden for us to eat the pig or its byproducts?
Brother? So let me just listen in right now. Let me listen in, okay?
All right. Well, Brother Eddie, I mean, I know you've gone into this, you know, a bit, but if you could go, you know, just a bit further, and let's, before you go, because we're getting ready to actually get into more of the spiritual side of it and really what this means, where we should really be going with this. But if you would answer that question, and let's just deal with the animal for a minute.
Yes, sir.
Yes, sir. You know, based on, you know, I mean, for example, I'm going to say this. For example, I have individuals who come to me and they talk about the fact, well, you know, when Peter had his vision, you know, they use that particular, and one of the scriptures I read out of Matthew, where it talks about it's not the things that go into a man's belly that defile him, but it's the things that come out of his heart. Thought these things are true. But then they also, individuals also use the vision of Peter, where Peter, for example, they said that in a vision he was taken up to the rooftop. And while he was up on the rooftop, it said that the angel brought down a sheep, and it had all manner of creeping and crawling things. And the angel said to Peter, arise, Peter, kill and eat. And Peter said, not so, Lord, you know, because I'm one of the holy, and I've never consumed any filthy thing. And then the angel said to him a second time, arise, Peter, kill and eat. And Peter again repeated it, said, not so, Lord. This is a capital L. So he's talking to God. He says it was an angel, but Peter's talking to God. He says, not so, Lord. Well, I'm of the righteous, I'm of the holy, and I've never eaten any unclean thing. And so they went through this a third time. And Peter responded again when he said, arise, Peter, kill and eat. And Peter responded the same way. Then the Lord, it says, spoke and said, call not anything that I have cleansed or created unclean. And they will use that scripture to justify being able to eat this animal. So, you know, I mean, things like that. So, again, the question is, why is it forbidden for us to eat the pig and its byproduct?
Well, I have some, I'll try to put this in order. Can everyone hear me?
Yes, sir.
Okay.
Yes, sir.
order, I guess. The first thing is, you know, I say, you know, it's not the thing, the man that goes into a man's belly has to follow him, but what comes out of his heart. You know, have you ever had a triple bypass surgery? And there's going to be something out of your heart. So just chew on that like you chew on skin. But, you know, the swine, and his brother read from How to Eat to Live, and I'll go at that, it has a little worm in it called the trichina. Some people pronounce it trichina, trichina, but a little worm in it, a little microscopic worm. And these microscopic worms are in every square inch. There were so many thousands of eggs within every square inch of the meat of a swine. Heat does not kill them. One brother did a study, and he said the eggs of the are not killed by heat. What actually happens is they calcify, but then they are dissolved and hatched by the acids in the stomach.
Mm-hmm.
So kill it. You can take a pork chop and this, and some people at a job, they read it on the internet. I was talking about swine one day, so they tried it. And they were so surprised when they came back to work later, some week later. They took put it in the sun, put some coke on it, and the little worm came out of it. Like, oh, my God. Like, yeah. And you know, because people, of course, don't believe it. You know, you got to show a Negro. But high blood pressure comes from the swine. Arthritis comes when these little worms dig into your joint. Loss of memory, dementia. These worms start digging into your brain, all through your body, into your muscles. Hypertension, high blood pressure. All of these things we suffer from comes out of the swine. The Honorable Elijah Muhammad said that it destroys, and brothers correct me on the percentage, but it said it destroys 1/100th or 1,000th of a percent of your beauty appearance every time you eat swine. Now, that's something to say. You know, the world is so clean. We do a lot of work to stay looking pretty. But just one bite of it starts destroying your beauty appearance. And you know, some of us say, you know, I had a grandparent that lived to be 90, and had a grandparent that lived to be 100, and all these other things. They ate swine and yada, yada, yada.
Yeah, yeah.
Of course, back then there was less than it is today, all in all, with cancer and the air and the bioengineered vegetables and things like that. Yeah, they had less. But imagine if they didn't eat swine. They could live to be a 90, which is a tenth of the time that we are meant to live, because our fathers, Methuselah, excuse me, brother, spider found its way into my ear. Sorry, I live in the country. But Methuselah, and Noah, and Abraham lived hundreds and hundreds of years, and the Bible says man is cursed to live 7 to 3 score and 10, and whatever else is just grace. So the 90 years is no justification, because there's no time in our time, in our lifespan, when these great black men lived to be 900, 800, 700, 600 years old. Minister Abdul, and I need to go on NOI.org. This for the listeners, NOI.org webcast, and go back some weeks till you find a lecture presented by, it was Minister Nuri, came to Mas Marion, and he showed in the Bible, in the chronology of how, you read in the book of Genesis, it says, let fruit be your meat. And the lifespans was almost up to the thousands, and then later in the Bible, God permits meat to be consumed, and you watch lifespan start dropping. You know. So go into the Bible and study that. So we want to live a long time. We don't want to suffer these sicknesses. So without even getting into the spiritual and mental aspects of it. Just having your body infested by worms is enough for you to say that I don't eat that. The biological nature of it should make you not want to put it in your body. Because according to the Bible, God's temple is the body. And to defile the temple is what? To curse against God himself. You know, so if you won't step into a car or just burn yourself up with gasoline and defile the body, why take a slow poison, something so filthy, and defile your body by eating that? So take that as a little bit more perspective going into why we don't consume and touch, and we as Muslims do not even handle swine at all. You know, we don't do where it's on your plate and swipe it to the side. We don't want to eat nothing that touches it. You know, some of us eat, and I'm from the South again, so, but some of us eat chitlins. Now, I've never had a chitlin, but some of us know chitlins. And they're grinding them. And imagine if you had, and this example has been used, so I don't take credit for it, but imagine if someone gave you a plate feces on it, and then in front of you, and then just rinsed off the plate, and then put it back and washed it off, and then put it in front of you and put food on it, you wouldn't want to eat it. There is a psychological construct of self-preservation where the human, where if you, even if you as a person spit, you can't even lick back or ingest your own spit once it's left your body, because it is a natural reflect, or it is a natural instinct for you not to re-intake something, because it can have, it's a self-defense mechanism. It's a construct in psychology. So why would you even, the reason you can't do that, but look how much we have been destroyed. We have been so distraught, so destroyed in our perception and our knowledge that we would do that which is absolutely against life. To eat a chitlin, which is a part of the body that holds the excrement, that is to leave the body, but we would ingest it and call it good with some hot sauce, because we were forced in a time of no choice to live off of it. But now in a time of choice, we have been trained for 310 years that is something that's we think is good for us. No. Let's stop and get away from swine. Even a lot of white folk today don't even eat swine. You know, some people call it a fad not to eat swine. It's a surprise that some of us are still eating it in 2014 with the great information age. But for that, I will put that up, put a pin in it right there, brother.
Yes, sir. Okay. That's peace, man. That's peace. Brother, when you this is Brother Reginald Muhammad.
Yes, sir.
When you asked the question, what came to my mind was English lesson C number 1, the 136.
Yes, sir.
And I quote, it says, he likes the devil because the devil gives him nothing. Why does he like the devil? Because the devil planted fear in him when he was just a little boy. Why does he fear the devil now that he is a grown man? Because the devil taught him how to eat the wrong food. And when you think about that, you got to think about the fact that even though we're talking about food that you cook that goes on a plate or whatever, we have to also think about food for thought. And that's a statement that people use. This is just a little food for thought. We fear what is right because we've been taught to eat the wrong foods. So when the leader teaches us, or when people see us with the final call, or they see us out there soldiering, they know that what they're looking at is something good. But they fear us because of the devil, because the devil is planting fear in them. The news station, I heard a brother talk about CNN bacon and MTV chitlins. But you have to think about what the media has, what has been said to our people as far as about us being Muslims. I've had people come to me and say, I hear y'all worship a cabbage. So I'm like, okay.
I've heard many strange things that people would say that they've been taught or what they've been fed concerning the Nation of Islam,
mm-hmm.
our leader, and us as individuals. This is why as soon as people see us step out of line in any type of way, they quick to say, oh, there go the Muslims. There go the Muslims. The Muslims that, the Muslims this. We've been associated with terrorism. It's on TV or you watch the 900 Club or something like that. They always shooting down Islam. They are putting food. They're putting food. That's the food of, I don't know exactly what word to use, but it's a negative. You know? I'm not going to keep going on, bro, but that just came to my mind when I thought about when you asked me that question.
Go ahead. Yes, sir, pray to Allah. Well, yeah, it's called,
yes,
one of the words that's used is called propaganda.
Oh, yeah.
Exactly.
Yes, sir. They put out what's called negative propaganda. See, we have to understand something that, number one, propaganda doesn't have to be negative. However, in that particular case, that's what they do. You know, they propagate what you were saying. They propagate an idea. They want to associate us with evil things or wicked things or things that they know the people fear, that they've already caused the people to fear. And then they want to associate us with that. Yeah, that's called propaganda. And so they're propagating or spreading. Well, lies is what they're telling, because we're not terrorists. But yes, sir. No, I mean, but you take the time you need to express the idea, because you're panelists, so you're hearing. That's what we're here for, is to share this information. And I mean, everything is moving right on point, right in line with our topic, which is, it is forbidden to eat the pig and its byproducts. See, what you just described is a byproduct on that level.
Yes, sir.
All right. Yes, sir. Praise be to Allah. And what you just shared out of English lesson number C1, before I go to that, though, what you were talking about, Brother Eddie, you will find in the problem book that we have, wherein it states, it talks about, and this is in point number 9 of the problem book, or problem number 9, but this particular part states, it says, the average person can be robbed successfully with 1/3 of unsound brain. And before that, it talks about how the eating of the pig physically can sound or destroy, is what it's talking about, the brain power of the individual and how much pig versus how much brain is destroyed. But the part I want to get to, it says, the average person can be robbed successfully with 1/3 of unsound brain. Then how long will the devil have to wait to rob of said the poison animal eater at the above rates? It's talking about the rates at which individual consumes this animal. But here, what you were talking about, it is also known to the civilized world that 10 ounces of the poison animal destroys 3/100% of the beauty appearance of a person.
Yes, sir.
Yes, sir. That's the actual or mathematical figure.
Thank you,
and,
sir.
Yes, sir. Praise be to Allah. And what Brother Reginald was sharing, yes, out of English lesson number C1. Like you said, he says he likes the devil because the devil gives him nothing. He says, why does he like the devil? Because the devil put fear in him when he was a little boy. Then it asks the question,
okay,
it says, why does he fear now since he is a big man? And as you stated, because the devil taught him to eat the wrong food. Then it goes on and asks another question. Does that have anything to do with the above question number 10? And in point number 12, he answers and says, yes, sir. That makes him other
than his own self. And 13 asks the question, what is his own self? And 14 states, his own self is a righteous Muslim. All praise is due to Allah. So I mean, like I said, we're on the point. And since we're about to, we're 10 minutes away from the top of the second hour, and usually at the top of the second hour, I do announce my sponsors, but since we're into this and we're moving, I'm going to do this. I'm going to do the sponsor spots now, and then we're going to roll right on with this because this is getting hot.
Yes, sir.
Yes, you are right here on the Nation Building Network with Conscious Black Nation. I am Kareem the Communicator, Brother Kareem N. Muhammad, your host. And Conscious Black Nation is brought to you by Kareem's Construction, Room Additions, Remodeling, New Construction, Roofing, Plumbing, Electrical, Handyman Services, Tile, also Concrete and Masonry Work. You can contact Kareem's Construction at 314-651-1094. Conscious Black Nation is also brought to you by Amin Holistic Health Center. The thought is the act is the fact. From Amin Holistic Health Center, you can obtain guidance in the following. Better health through nutrition, success through faith and works, spiritual progress, conquering addiction, aromatherapy, herbology, never getting sick again. You can contact Amin Holistic Health Center at 314-616-2060. Also brought to you by Master Pizza. That's right. Come to 2846 Cherokee Street, St. Louis, Missouri, and have Master Pizza create you a Master Pizza. They have chicken wings as well as handmade home-cut fries seasoned with love. Investing in a healthy community from scratch. And we have a new sponsor this week. When you want that, your sweet tooth is messing with you, you don't want just any bean pie. You want the best bean pie. Produced and baked by our brother Jeff X here in St. Louis, Missouri. His number is 314-315-7833, the best bean pie. And now that we've done that, let's roll on because, like I say, this thing getting hot now. I love it like this.
Yes, sir.
So you both have basically answered this next question. However, I'm going to present it anyway so that everybody that's on the line can really begin to sink their teeth into it. Now, we've talked about the physical aspect of the pig. We've talked about, you know, the health issues. And, I mean, for anybody that's doubting that, I want you to think about this. The majority of our people are given the pig. I mean, people eat the pig. They eat the swine because this is just a normal thing to do. It's food. They consider it food. Well, I personally, understanding what food is, pig, along with many other items that they have on the shelf, are not food. See, there's no such thing as quote-unquote good food and bad food. Anything that is bad for you is not food. It's a consumable, but it's not food. Anything that is truly, according to the definition of what food has to be something that nourishes you, that helps remove poisons from your body, that helps develop you stage after stage into the best that you can be. That's food. Anything that does anything other than that is a consumable. It means you can take it into yourself, but that doesn't make it food. You don't have to believe me. Go look it up. Because I'm not going to define the word food right now. Go check it out. Go check out the philology or the history of the word food. Now, but as you were talking, Brother Reginald, both you and Brother Eddie, when you mentioned you talked about those health issues, high blood pressure, diabetes, just arthritis, all these different things that are produced
by the trichna, as it was, by that is the name I was raised with, the trichna worm, that gets into the body or the bloodstream. It gets into all the joints and the muscles and the nerves and everything in the swine eater's body. The thing is this, if you don't believe that there's a problem, why is it that when individuals start suffering from these diseases and they go to the doctor, and the first thing the doctor tells them is, they used to say, well, you know, you're going to have to cut back on eating the pig. The doctor would tell you that. Soon as you come in and say, I got hypertension, he'll give you some pills, whichever medical company, whichever drug pharmaceutical company was paying him the most kickback money at that time, he would give you their drug to treat the symptoms, to use as some type of pain. And then he would say, well, you know, you're going to have to cut back on consuming pork. Now they'll outright tell you you're going to have to stop eating pork. See, because they were losing too many people and, you know, they couldn't pay for their new boats and their new mansions, but I'm not going to get into that right now.
Yeah, yes, sir.
So, I mean, people need to think about that. This is just on the physical level. However, now we're really getting ready to move more into the spiritual aspect of this discussion, even though we've touched on it. And so I'm going to ask you first, Brother Reginald, then I'm going to come to you, Brother Eddie. Question number four is this. Is this law, it is forbidden to eat the pig and its byproducts, is this law only in reference to this animal, or does it pertain to something else? What say you, Brother Reginald?
Wow, bro.
To repeat that question one more time.
Well, the question is, you know, our topic is based on the restrictive law number four, which is it is forbidden to eat the pig and its byproducts. And so the question is this law only in reference to the animal, the pig, or is there more to this?
Well, I believe that, and I'm not even going to say I believe as if I'm the only one. I know for a fact that it's speaking about more than just pig. Mm-hmm. It's really speaking about anything that is not good for you.
Mm. Yes, sir.
Yes, sir. I believe it's what is it called? A metaphor in speaking, but it's about more than just pee. It's about anything taken into your body that is unclean, and that's mentally, physically, as well as spiritually. Yes, that's my sight, brother.
Yes, sir. Praise be to Allah. And Brother Eddie.
Yes, sir.
Yes, sir. Same question to you, brother. I mean, I know you've gone into it somewhat earlier, but if you would expand on your earlier answer concerning this, because like I said, you've really already answered the question, but if you would expand on that.
Yes, sir. Brother Reginald actually gave me an idea.
Yes, sir.
About this, of whether this question about whether the swine is just talking about swine or other things in that restrictive law.
Yes, sir.
You know that if we take religion, there are many different types of religions, but we know that the unifying principle of the titles of religion is the principle, is the nature that lies beneath religion. So if we take the swine and we just remove the rat, cat, and the dog creature for a moment and look at the principle of what a swine is, attributes, it's a filthy animal. If we look at it biologically, there are many different swine.
Come on.
Take the shrimp, for instance. The shrimp is a swine. It eats the filth off the bottom of the ocean, which is the bottom of the bottom. But it eats that which settles all the way to the darkness of the ocean. lobster, crawfish.
These are the water birds.
Yes, sir. These are the same biological structure. I was an animal fanatic growing up, so I'm upset that the word escapes me. But there is a name for these creatures, but they're of the same form of roach, the water bug.
Right.
And it has the same nature. What the roach eats on land, the shrimp, the lobster, the crawfish eats in the bottom of the ocean, the clam.
What they call crustaceans.
There we go. Thank you, brother. They eat the filth. So we don't eat shrimp. We don't, even though you can say that the shrimp itself is not mentioned in the Bible as a cloven-hoofed animal that's forbidden by God.
But they eat in the dietary law. It does tell you. It tells you what you can eat out of the water and what you can't eat out of the water.
Yes. Well, yes, sir. And I haven't even. Well, you actually leave it right there. There you go. So it's already, this is swine. Now, some of us, and this is, and maybe some people will take issue to this. So I apologize if I offend anybody. But, you know, some of us say to ourselves that the only thing forbidden is the pig. So some of us as Muslims might dabble in a little shrimp or something here and there because it's not specifically stated by name in the Bible. Come on. We already follow a man who comes in the volume of the book. So we can turn to any page, and if any page does not equate with our thinking, then, you know, we're wrong. So let's not do that. So the catfish, the same type of creature. So there we don't do that. Now let's take, oh, I'm not over time on answering this question. Let me give you 2 more minutes.
Right ahead, bro.
The other thing is this, the spiritual side, the abstract side, right? Now,
yes,
a cool little app on my phone called the Merriam-Webster Dictionary, because I don't like flipping through pages. Never that nice. Now, I worked in the library growing up and loved my favorite place, but somewhere I think I got overdosed, and I don't like flipping through pages. So I got this app, and I went ahead and pulled up byproduct, and the synonyms were more interesting than the definition.
Yes, sir.
Byproduct, and I get this from you, Dr. Room. I'm going to let you know that. Looking up everything in the dictionary. But byproduct, derivate, derivation, offshoot, outgrowth, and then the more layman term, spinoff.
Yes, sir.
Now, derivative or derivation is that which comes, it's not the original.
Come on.
But it comes from, extracted out of, or is a form of something else. To take or get something from something else. So if we don't engage or eat the byproducts or the derivations of swine, then what about the derivations of or the derivatives of religion? Look at Christianity, the message of Jesus, which has now been broken up into 50,000 denominations, derivations, derivatives of the original message of Jesus. Again, not to insult, but I'm just thinking out loud. Look at Islam. Many derivatives. Shiite, Sunni, Sufi, Hanbal, all of these different derivatives, byproducts. Right? We don't, now looking at principle, we don't eat byproducts. Why? And I'm getting to a point, because nowhere I'm calling the origin swine, but there's a reason that I'm making this point. The Nation of Islam. There are derivatives. There are offshoots, spinoffs of the Nation of Islam. What's wrong with a byproduct? A byproduct is not the original. It's devil.
Come on.
You see, a swine is not an original thing. It is a byproduct. It's the byproduct of the cat, a rat, and a dog.
Okay.
Far more potent than any of those creatures, because those creatures have great use. Those creatures are fit in the food chain. If anyone studies animals, swine cause a lot of problems in their habitats, issues in their particular habitat where they go. But my point with that, and like I said, I'm just thinking out loud, so this is free to be argued, but the cause of a derivative of a byproduct of something, it, in the Supreme Wisdom lessons, it asks you, how do you make devil?
Come on.
You start by grasping from the original. Now, a swine was made by grafting. Many of our derivatives have been made by grafting. Am I saying that these different denominations are as evil as the swine? Not necessarily saying that, but looking at the principle, the nature, something is lost there. There's something about that that the Supreme Wisdom lessons would say that you start making devil by grafting, by deriving, by creating a byproduct of the original. The Caucasian people are a byproduct. So, but just wrapping up on that particular point about the byproduct, take Satan's world. You know, I was talking with a brother, give me 30 more seconds. I was talking with a brother today, and he was arguing about the Nation of Islam, and he always does. And if he's listening, hope he doesn't mind me bringing this conversation. But he always argues and debates about the nation, no, the particular points, you know, race hater, Malcolm X, yada, yada, yada. But I asked him, I said, well, let me ask you a question. What is your religion? I mean, brother, you argue to me about the legitimacy of our Islam, but you post every day about you putting new rack of ribs on the grill. So what is your religion? You know. Well, he said, well, I believe in God. You know. You believe in God, but what is belief in God? You know? Why is this, how can you argue me the principle of Islam? In Islam, we don't touch swine at all. But you argue the legitimacy of our Islam based on something that you don't do. And this principle of this swine, like I said in the beginning, is Islam 101. It's belief in Allah. It's obedience to Allah. Let me put it that way. It's not belief. It's obedience to Allah 101.
Obedience. That's right.
If you will eat that which is filth, why would you house in your same body that which is the love of God himself, a supreme and pure human being, and ingest in your body at the same time that which is the lowest and most filthy of the lowest and filthy. So,
okay.
Let's look at it that way too. But I'm going to stop there, brother.
Yes, sir. Praise be to Allah. Yes, sir. Thank you. Thank you, brother. And just a note, because we're going to go and see if we got anything on the phone in the chat room at this point. But just a note on what you were mentioning earlier about individuals will argue, you know, including some of those Muslims, will argue that, well, that's not mentioned specifically in the book. Well, it tells us in the Quran that what was given to the quote-unquote Jews, or the children of Israel, actually is more accurate, what was given to the children of Israel as their law or their dietary law, we can eat their food and they can eat our food because we are a clean people. According to the Bible, Deuteronomy, when you read verse 2 of chapter 14, it states, well, let's start with verse 1. It says, ye are the children of the Lord your God. You shall not cut yourselves nor make any baldness between your eyes for the dead. For thou art an holy people unto the Lord thy God. And the Lord hath chosen thee to be a peculiar people unto himself above all the nations that are upon the earth, thou shalt not eat any abominable thing. Then it goes on to give a list of the things that they can eat or that we can eat, quote unquote, based on the Bible. Then after verse 8, wherein it states, and I'm going to read it again, and the swine, because it divideth the hoof, yet cheweth not the cud, it is unclean unto you. Ye shall not eat of their flesh, nor touch their dead carcass. Then in verse 9, the statement is made, these ye shall eat of all that are in the waters, all that have fins and scales shall ye eat, and whatsoever hath not fins and scales ye may not eat. It is unclean unto you. So they can think about that for a while, if they choose to. You know? It's in the, I didn't write it now. I didn't write it. I'm just reading it. Okay.
Okay.
So now, here's the thing. So now we are really going to get, because you both have all, you've helped me to lay the foundation and set it up, because, again, our topic is, it is forbidden to eat the pig and its byproducts, and in parentheses, self-righteousness, because that's what we're getting to now. You know, that's what we're getting to now. And we're going to define some words very quickly. The word "it" is defined as crucial. The word "forbidden" is defined as not permitted or allowed, banned, accursed, cursed, and it originates from the word "bid" or the phrase "to bid," which comes from the Sanskrit word "badni" or "bahadni," which means enlightenment. So to forbid means to enlighten, means to bring light to. To forbid something means to remove the light from. To is defined as movement or action, direction, purpose, or intention, result. And the word "eat" is defined as to take in through the mouth as food. That's the first definition. Then the second, one of the synonyms is to ingest. Then it says to destroy, consume, to take in for digestion, to carry in. And so since we have established the fact that in talking about the pig being forbidden to eat, yes, 100% I'm with you, Brother Reginald. The pig is not just the animal. It is anything that is detrimental to us. And on that note, in the book number one, How to Eat to Live, by the Most Honorable Elijah Muhammad, on page 57, he states, proper food for body and mind equals good health. On the coming of God, according to the Bible and the Holy Quran, he began to create a people that must and will enjoy a long life and good health. They will not suffer sickness or grief and sorrow. They will live lives of complete happiness. The earth is full of food, but good health cannot enter our bodies until we have the proper food. Notice the word he used. He doesn't say good. He says the proper food in the body and the proper food for thought. Exactly what you mentioned earlier, Brother Richard. If we do not have the proper food for our way of thinking, we still cannot enjoy peace, good health, joy, and gladness of heart. We can eat the best food. We can take fast for 9 days or for 20 or 30 days if we want to, and we will still suffer if we do not feed the brain with the right food. These two bodies, the brain and digestive tract, have much in common with one another. Whatever hurts one hurts the other. We must treat both well. The Bible teaches you that God gave the dead more life. He comes to give you more life and an abundance of life. How can he do that for us unless we help ourselves to the assistance he is helping us seek? We must help ourselves in this way to prolong our lives. Obey. That's what you said, Brother Eddie. Obey and do all that Allah bids us. Think the way he thinks, the thoughts of good. Seek to be like him, both physically and mentally. As the Holy Quran teaches us, when we have submitted ourselves entirely to the will of God, he then guides us into his path, his way of life, and then we come to enjoy the paradise of life in these words of the Holy Quran. O soul that is at rest, enter into my gardens, into my paradise among servants well-pleased and well-pleasing. So speaks the Honorable Elijah Muhammad, book number one, How to Eat to Live. And now that we've shared that, we're going to, inshallah, bring this home. But before we do that, Queen Aziza.
Yes, sir.
Oh,
I'm
here. Yes, ma'am. I know it. And forgive us for leaving you out there in limbo land.
Well, that's okay. I got a call, and I'm on my way to a crisis with one of my children. So I do recall one of the questions before I left the house, and it was a sister named Joanne who wanted to know, were you coming from the Old Testament because something along the lines that those things were no longer relevant after the death of Jesus, I think she said. So maybe you want to clear that up for her. And you might want to log in, Brother Kareem, because I got a crisis with one of my youth. But I'm still on the line.
Yes, ma'am. All praises to Allah. Okay, no problem. I will log in so I can take a look. And before we move on with the panel, we just talked about this a few weeks ago. Let's see here. Now, where is that at? Y'all have to give me just be patient with the brother. You know, I had to put my other set of eyes on. Had to put my other set of eyes on, and so I can look this up. Okay, it's okay, that's the light of the bushel basket. Well, I'm not able to actually lay my hands on it. However, to our sister who was talking about the fact that, yes, I was reading from the Old Testament and that which is called the law. And, again, we discussed that earlier. We were talking about the fact that many individuals, that is how they justify actually defying God's law by saying that, quote, unquote, after the death of Jesus, that we were no longer under the law, that we were under grace. However, Jesus himself states in the New Testament, in the words that are in red, they told me that was Jesus talking, and I study the Bible. I don't just read it. I study it constantly. In those words, for example, Jesus makes this first statement he makes is, think not that I have come to destroy the law, but to fulfill it. Jesus says not one jot. The word jot is described as a word, a letter. Not one tittle. A tittle is described or defined as a punctuation mark. He says not one jot, not one tittle will pass from the law until the kingdom of heaven is established. Now, I don't know about you, but looking around at the world that I live in and the neighborhoods I walk through and the people that I'm struggling and striving to save and the condition that they are in, with all the people that are moving totally against God's word and God's law and what he says must be done, certainly the kingdom of heaven has not been established. And that being the case, and according to the words of Jesus, then the law yet stands. In another place, Jesus talking to the disciples, meaning those who were following his discipline, not just the apostles, not just the 12, but the disciples, those who were following his discipline. He said that do all that the Sadducees and the Pharisees tell you to do. He said, follow the law, practice the law. He said, because unless your righteousness exceeds that of the Sadducees and the Pharisees, practicing the law given to us, given to them, he said, then you will not see the kingdom of heaven. This is in the New Testament. This is in the New Testament. Now, exactly, I really wish I could, let me see, I'm going to go to the chat room. Hopefully the sister is in this particular chat room. If not, then I'm hoping that the response I've given sparks some thinking. I'm not attacking you. I'm simply sharing with you what I have gotten from the Bible concerning these things. And so, see, that's the thing. That is one of the many mistakes. For example, what we talked about earlier about Peter and individuals using that particular scripture to say it means that we can eat anything. It means that we're no longer under the law. If you read the entire chapter, if you read that particular section in its entirety, what comes before and what comes after, you'll get what happened to Peter and Peter's vision in context. You see, God was sending to Peter some Gentiles. God was sending to Peter those whom Peter had been instructed were unclean, filthy people, and that this word was not for them. But what Peter did not understand is that God had cleansed these individuals' minds and hearts. And that when the angel said to Peter, arise, Peter, kill and eat, he wasn't talking about Peter, kill these animals on this sheep because it's a vision, and eat these animals. What eating also means, like we just shared earlier, to consume. Eating means to take into. So Peter was a zealot. Peter wasn't going to accept these Gentiles because he considered them unclean people. What God was doing in this thing was showing Peter, I'm sending you some individuals that I have made and prepared to be able to accept this. I've cleaned them up. Don't call them unclean. Take them into the fold. That's what that was about. The other scripture, which we read earlier, and I'm going to share that again, in the book of Matthew. Let me get to it. Come on. Here we go. In the book of Matthew. Yes, sir. In the book of Matthew, we're in its state. Let me be correct here. It's in chapter 15. I started in verse 16. But again, you have to read what's before that and what comes after that to get the entire context of it. You see, what happened was this, and I'm going to read where we started at. Verse 16, it says, and Jesus said, are ye also yet without understanding? Do not ye yet understand that whatsoever entereth in at the mouth goeth out into the belly and is cast out in the draw? But those things which proceed out of the mouth come forth from the heart, and they defile the man. For out of the heart proceed evil thoughts, murders, adulteries, fornications, thefts, false witness, blasphemies. These are the things which defile a man, but to eat with unwashing hands defileth not a man. See, Jesus, again, when you go back and read what comes before that, the Sadducees and the Pharisees, in other words, the doctors of law of that time, the preachers, okay, they were always looking for some kind of way to attack Jesus and his followers. trying to find something wrong to point out. See, see, y'all ain't right. Y'all not following the dictates of the law. Well, they saw the disciples or the apostles actually eat bread without washing their hands. And one of the rules, one of the strict rules was you don't eat without washing your hands. And they said, aha, see, your disciples, your followers don't wash their hands. They ain't following the law. Huh? Queen of Vivi?
Oh, I'm sorry. Did y'all hear me? I'm sorry. I'm just checking in. No, never mind. I'm mute my phone again. I don't know how it came off on mute.
Yeah. Okay. Now, as I was saying, this particular conversation that Jesus had with them had nothing to do with telling you that you could eat anything. That's not what he meant. Because you notice at the end, the very last statement he makes is, these are the things which defile a man, but to eat with unwashed hands defileth not a man. So it had nothing to do with telling the people or authorizing the people to eat anything they wanted to eat. This is a misinterpretation of it, and if you go and read it and study it for yourself, you will see that it's just. Now notice what he says, though. He says, but those things which proceedeth out of the mouth come forth from the heart. What heart is he talking about? Is he talking about this pulmonary pump that sits in our chest and moves blood through our body every 8 minutes and 20 seconds, which just so happens to be the amount of time it takes for sunlight or sunshine to travel from the sun to the earth, striking the earth at its equator, making the earth to turn or to exhibit life? Also, this same sun, this same sunlight, which provides us with vitamins and minerals, and that we cannot live without, which is also representative of the light of Almighty God, which must enter our minds and give us life. Could he be possibly talking about the heart, which is the center of our life, or should be, which is the center of our thinking? Because that's what heart means. It means the center, not the physical heart in the chest, but the center of our thinking. Because, when, again, based upon the Bible, and I believe it's Paul who said it. I could be incorrect. It may be. I have to go and look. Like I say, I studied, but I don't know at all. However, somewhere I seem to have read in the Bible that it says, be ye not conformed to the world, but be ye transformed by the renewing, not of your spirit, but the renewing of your mind. So
right.
We're talking about the center here, the center of our thinking. So when Jesus says it's from the heart, he means that what we think. And as my brothers have been sharing earlier, the bottom line is thought is produced by what we see, hear, smell, taste, and feel. So when we talk about not eating the why it's forbidden to eat the pig and its byproducts, we're not just talking about the physical animal. We are also talking about the fact, let me share something with you, an example. And I'm not casting off on any of my brothers or my sisters, because I need Almighty God, Allah's help every day, daily, to keep me on what we call Sirat al-Mustaqim, the straight path. So I'm not by any means trying to make myself out to be faultless. However, we're talking about the pig and its byproducts. Looking at the pig in principle, as my brother Eddie said earlier, as anything that's unclean, as Brother Reginald said earlier, any unclean thing, then we can see the result of those who are quote-unquote eaters of the physical animal. These quote-unquote rappers, entertainers, and individuals who are out there. I mean, how could they use or produce such things with such filthy language in it, with such filthy thoughts? I can't even repeat it on the air. the stuff that they got in this stuff that they call music, I call it make me sick. I can't even repeat this stuff.
Go ahead.
But y'all listen to them. Y'all know the words. Was it Boosie and Lil Wayne and I don't even know all of their names, but y'all know who I'm talking about. I recently, and I'm not putting off on my brother, but I recently, a service that I used to get music from, they were offering Kanye West CD. I think it's called Jesus or I Am God on there. They were offering it for free. So I've been hearing all the buzz about Kanye. So well, let me check my brother out and see what's going on. And I listened to the CD. I had to delete it because, I mean, what is this? I mean, the things he's saying on here don't have nothing to do with the Jesus I know, the God I know, you know. So even in the song when he say, I am God, what? I mean, like I said, I can't repeat the filth. So here we have this byproduct. So see, here we have people who are actually eating this filthy animal, but even more so, they are allowing themselves to be fed mentally, spiritually, if you will, with the filth of this world, and then they're transmitting it out to the people, and the people, like pigs, are gobbling it up. I mean, come on, people. Why are we killing one another wholesale, even more so than we were just 10 years ago in our own neighborhoods? Why are quote-unquote husbands and wives just going their separate ways? Why are so many of our people, and particularly our youth, turning to homosexuality? Now, before you call me a homophobic, I am not afraid of homosexuals, be they male or female. What I do fear is what God will do to you if you continue in that behavior. But I am not afraid of them. I talk to them all the time, and I don't put off on them. However, if they ask my quote-unquote view on their lifestyle, I'm going to tell them the truth based on what the scripture said. A little-known fact is this, and I mean that's among those who are not studied, that the only creature in what's called the animal kingdom that will practice homosexuality or sodomy, a sodomistic behavior, is the pig. You don't have to believe me. Go check it out for yourself. So we need to think before we just spout out our mouth what somebody told us. And I'm going to say this, and then I'm going to get back to my brothers and bring them back into the conversation. But here's the thing. If anyone can show me in the Bible where Jesus ate pig, cook me up a plate of pork chops, I'm ready. Now, all praise is due to Allah. Let me, y'all have to forgive me. I did, you know.
Don't do it, Brother Kareem. Don't do it.
They've been
printing up a Bible that you ain't never heard of and show it to you, and you're going to have to do that. So please don't put that challenge out there. Oh,
No, I'm not. See, they got to bring me authentic. See, I've been studying the Bible since I was 14 years old. I've been studying it, and I've read all, as many as I could get my hands on, different versions, translations. I've seen Bibles that they ain't never even looked at. I've also seen the original. So, no, they can't come to me with no foolishness. they could try that on some knucklehead, but no.
Go ahead.
Because if they bring me one saying, and Jesus sat down, and as he instead of him having fishes and loaves, he had cornbread, gravy, rice, and chitlins. No, we ain't going for that.
That's right.
We're not going for that one now, so.
Go ahead. Go ahead.
Right. He's doing a lot. But I hope, and in the spirit of brotherhood and sisterhood, that my sister who did ask the question, who put that out there, go study and read. And I mean, just on what my brothers have shared on the health issues. I mean, if you honestly believe that if you have that kind of faith, that you can pray over something that God himself has forbidden, and it's going to make it right, then I tell you what, get you a vial of arsenic and bless it, and then have at it. And then when you survive that, you let me know. You know, I'm not being funny. I'm being real. See, because we live in a real world, and we have to recognize who gave us this information. See, the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan for years has said this and repeated it from the Most Honorable Elijah Muhammad. Someone who will not treat you right, how can you expect them to teach you right? And we have gotten our understanding of the Bible and continue to do so from our slave masters' children. Now, some of you might say, well, I don't know what you're talking about, because my preacher is Pastor Billy Burr, and he grew up in the neighborhood with us, and he black as a tire. Well, but who did he get his license from?
That's right.
Who did he get his license from? And why would one who is called by the Lord have to be licensed? These are things we need to think about. But like I said, I'm going to quit running my mouth because, like I said, I'm the host. So that means that I'm here for us to facilitate others. And I'm going to remind those who are in the listening audience, if you have a question or a comment and you're on the phone, please press 1 on your dial pad. If you're in the chat room, please. Pardon me. Type in your question, and we will make sure we get it answered. All right. Now, I am going to come back on topic. I mean, we haven't left it, but I'm going to come back on topic. And let's go into the restrictive law of Islam is our success, wherein, under that same topic, it is forbidden to eat the pig or its byproducts. And what we were just talking about, that is the thing. Now, among us who are considered or consider ourselves to be the righteous, quote unquote, or striving for righteousness, I have found, not just of late, but I'll just say of late, so much self-righteousness. I mean, instead of us looking down upon the people as God does, reaching out our hand and offering them a way out of their situation, many of us look down at the people. I mean, we made it now. We so clean. We so righteous. However, just as Jesus was describing those things in the Bible, in Matthew, those wicked things that come from the heart, he said evil, blasphemies.
Go ahead.
Let me get it right. He said, for out of the heart proceed evil thoughts. That's an evil thought. It's an evil thought when I consider myself above the people, when I consider myself so much better simply because I've been exposed to some knowledge or some information that they don't have. And I'm not using that information. I'm not using that knowledge to help uplift the people, to be a brother, to be a sister. Anytime I consider myself better than. See, there's a difference in being better and having an air of better than. There's a big difference. See, because when I'm better, I do better. I'm humble. I don't think more of myself than I should, and then I also don't think less of myself than I should, but I am balanced because I recognize that if it were not for God and his rescuing and saving me through other human beings, then I might not even be above ground to give testimony.
Go ahead.
Notice he also says murders. What kind of murder? People say, I don't know what you mean. I haven't murdered anybody. Well, it doesn't necessarily have to be physical murder. There is such a thing as character assassination.
Yes, sir.
Go ahead.
Hmm. Yeah. Then it says adulteries and fornication. Hmm. You were mentioning it earlier, Brother Eddie, when you were talking about the different religions and the sects that we have produced, both in Christianity and in Islam. See, that's the adultery that it's talking about. It's talking about the adultery of me saying that I'm with Muhammad, I'm with the Nation of Islam. However, I'm doing something that we're instructed not to do. And it's right here so that I can be right and exact. And where it states in point number 11 of the original rules of instructions to the laborers, do not do other than yourself, which is what? A righteous Muslim. And do not take on mixed instructions other than our own assignment. Other than our assignment. See, many of us are doing that. A lot of individuals, and I'm going to say this, and, you know, Lord knows, I mean, if the individuals decide they want to make me be in trouble, well, I've been in trouble all my life. The Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan has given us a tool called Dianetics. It is a tool. I'm going to say it again. It is a tool to be used to cleanse us of some of this filth, some of these byproducts from the pig that we've been consuming. But yet and still, it's just a tool. I've met so many individuals that it's almost like they just threw the teachings away, and now all they know is to quote from the book Dianetics. Again, this is a tool that was given to us to aid us in removing the filth that we have taken in from other sources so that we can properly practice what we have been given, the supreme wisdom. It's not a substitute. When we use it in that way, then it becomes a byproduct. It's devil. I mean, that's just the reality of it. We have to understand that this is a tool that we use. And don't get me wrong, because I have been audited many times and have benefited from it. However, it cleared me. Let me be very clear in what I'm saying. Let me be very clear in what I'm saying. It has cleared me of filth, engrams, if you will, and also some things that were learned behavior blocked me from properly applying and in a practical manner the teachings of the Honorable Elijah Muhammad.
Go ahead.
So it has its value, but let's not get it twisted. It's not the answer. The answer is what we have been given. So we can't be adulterous, saying that we with God, but no, but let me sneak over here, because this is, you know, it's so sweet. Then it says fornications. Listen to this one. Thefts. Now, I don't know about you. However, I see me spending my time, any time that I spend not serving Allah, I'm stealing. Because it's Allah that gave me the time and gave me the life and gives me the breath and the intelligence to be able to function. So if I'm not using it in his service, then I'm a thief. I'm stealing. Then it says, false witness. How many of us, to be liked or to be in a clique? Again, back to that self-righteousness. How many of us, not even knowing, but because somebody brings us some information, will condemn another individual based on what somebody else has said as opposed to investigating, which Allah tells us to do in the Quran. He tells us to investigate.
Yes.
He says if information is brought to us by an unrighteous person, yes, and I know individuals say, well, you can't call nobody unrighteous. You don't know. So the first thing people will do is do wrong to others, and then the first thing they want to use as an excuse is, well, Allah know my heart. Yeah, we do. I didn't say I said we, the soft pronoun. Yeah, we do know your heart because what did he just say? What? Let me see what did Jesus say.
Go ahead.
He said, for out of the heart proceed evil thoughts, murders, adulteries, fornications, thefts, false witness, blasphemies. These are the things which defile a man, but to eat with unwashing hands defiles not a man. Again, we can tell what's in your heart by your actions, what you do. See, Allah, the creator of the heavens and the earth, knows all. He can see it. It's for the purpose for us acting these things out and doing these things is so that those around us can see it, and more so, even more importantly, so we can see it ourselves and correct our behavior. It is forbidden for us to eat, to consume, to ingest, to take in and then digest the pig, anything that is against God's will and its byproducts. That means that those people who are doing that, and then they're putting this stuff out here. And, I mean, that goes for preachers, not just the rappers and the entertainers. That's the preacher. That even comes down to my mother or my brother. If I see them producing this, it does not behoove me to take this into myself and begin to use that. In a respectful manner, I need to be an example to them. But now, having shared that, and what we read from message, I mean, pardon me, I keep saying message to the black man. It must be something that I'm supposed to read. I don't know what it is yet.
Go ahead.
What we read from How to Eat to Live on proper food for body and mind equals good health. Notice what the Most Honorable Elijah Muhammad states. He says, the earth is full of food, but good health cannot enter our bodies until we have the proper food in the body and the proper food for thought. If we do not have the proper food for our way of thinking, still cannot enjoy peace, good health, joy, and gladness of heart. And so having said that, that statement right there, I'm going to come to you first, Brother Reginald. How do you
see
that statement? How do you view that statement by the Most Honorable Elijah Muhammad?
Bro, I'm lost for words right now. I'm still listening to you.
All praise is due to Allah. And that's all I can say is all praise is due to Allah. I'm going to go to brother. I'm going to give you a chance to think about the question. I'm going to go to Brother Eddie.
Yes,
sir. Brother Eddie, what we just shared from How to Eat to Live, I'm going to read it again. The earth is full of food, but good health cannot enter our bodies until we have the proper food in the body and the proper food for thought. If we do not have the proper food for our way of thinking, we still cannot enjoy peace, good health, joy, and gladness of heart. And again, I'm asking you, how do you view that statement by the Most Honorable Elijah Muhammad?
We say that Islam is mathematics, and mathematics is Islam and can be proven in no limit of time.
That's right.
I would answer that question pretty simply. What goes in is what goes out. If we are what we partake of, the qualities of that which we partake are the qualities that help produce the result that we're trying to create. So if we're trying to live righteous, if we're trying to be good, healthy, physically, mentally, spiritually, very simply, we have to intake the best. We have to think practically. No, you're not going to make a lemon cake putting apples in it, no matter how much you can spray all day. It's not going to make a lemon cake, you know. So saying, like, give you lemons, make lemonade. It doesn't say make anything else. So we have to be practical. We have to be righteous. And the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan defined righteousness as being in accord with the up-to-date modern will of God. That simply means knowing the time and what must be done. That means what situation we are in and what is called for today to be done now. The food we eat physically has a lot to do with that. See, if we ate the right foods on time, instead of waiting until time was up to make adjustments, then we would have time. And when the time came, the right and proper time came to pay that debt that we all have to pay, which is debt, would not be a big debt that comes painfully. You know, if you knew a bill was coming up due and you didn't work to make no money, when it was time to pay, it's painful to let that money go. But if you worked hard all the way through, it ain't nothing to let that bill money go that time, because you know you worked and did what was right in time. So when time became due, thing was easy. So the things with the foods we eat physically, mentally, if we consume the right things on time, then when time comes, we'll be all right. Just put in the final language. And I wanted to, it came to my mind again, and I guess I'll say it too, that when we talk about the Old and New Testament, and Brother did it thoroughly, so I'm not repeating anything, but when we talk about what was in the Old Testament versus New Testament, I do want to say that if we take the idea that, you know, we're in grace and we do it with the law of Sinai, why don't we just do it with all the laws? Why don't we just go commit murder and just make sure we pray over it before we do it?
Come on.
You know, why don't we sleep with our brother's wife or our sister's husband? Just make sure we pray over it before we do it. Why don't we steal from one another just as long as we pray over it before we do it? And let's see how that turns out. But we know it, because the law is there to preserve life. But in Moses' time, we followed the law for fear of consequence. But Jesus, as Brother made so clear, he wanted to fulfill the law, that we grow into the law, that we did the law from our heart. Now, we were good from our heart toward in the law. So we didn't have to fear the law. We became the law. And then at that point, you don't need the law. But I'll leave that right there, brother.
All praise is due to Allah. Yes, sir. All praise is due to Allah. And I want to share this information. Here, I found it. It's here, right here in Message to the Black Man, that wonderful, wonderful book by the Most Honorable Elijah Muhammad. Page 242, the Honorable Elijah Muhammad states, the name of that for this particular chapter is A Rule We Must Live By. The Honorable Elijah Muhammad states, Almighty God, Allah, who appeared in the person of Master Faraz Muhammad, has given us the knowledge of self and others, and we are now spreading it. Allah chose me to teach you this particular subject. Accept your own and be yourself. This was his first and foremost teaching for us. This is the teaching, and these are the words of Almighty God Allah to us in the person of Master Faraz Muhammad, to whom praises are due forever and ever. Is it true that you have rejected your own? Is it true that you do not want your own and reject the truth, that Almighty God of truth, that the Almighty God of truth has brought to you? Is it true that you would rather be other than yourself? Let us examine our thoughts to see what we are actually thinking about and just what we would like to be. Let us present ourselves to the world as we really are. I do not think that God could have taken a better subject to teach us than the one he has. Accept your own and be yourself.
Okay.
Praise to Allah. Yes, sir. And that is where we are at now. That is what our topic tonight. It is forbidden to eat the pig and its byproducts. Those of us particularly, I mean anyone, but those of us particularly who are striving to live a right and righteous life, those of us who have been blessed by Almighty God, whether we're in the mosque, in the church, or we just study the word and strive to live by the golden rule, to do unto others as we would have them do unto us. Regardless, whether you have a denomination, you in an organization, or have a what they call it, a church home or mosque home, whatever, whether you have that or not, when we strive to live a right life, it behooves us, as my brother just said, that we consume, that we eat the right things. When we talked about that self-righteous thing, anytime I'm moving forward, I'm going to say it that way. However, and I could even for an inkling look down at anyone and see myself as superior or above them in such way that's arrogant, then I've totally missed the mark. I've totally missed the mark. We, those who are of the conscious, we're supposed to be conscious. The first thing that we have to be conscious of is our own thinking. The Honorable Elijah Muhammad just told us that. We have to examine our thinking. We have to examine our behavior constantly, all the time, to ensure that we are walking, talking, living examples of these teachings. How can I say to the world that I have supreme wisdom, but I'm producing nothing? And so on that note, what I want to do is, Queen Aziza, are you available? Okay, she may be busy.
No, sir, I'm not.
Okay, all praise is due to Allah. I would like to get the lineup in before, you know, we stop recording, so we'll have that.
I don't think she's available, brother. I think she says she's not.
She says she's not? Oh.
Yes.
Okay. Okay, all praise is due to Allah. That's fine. Then I will run the lineup down from memory, inshallah. Join us tomorrow night, Tuesday at 7 p.m., if I'm not mistaken, for disaster preparedness. Can't remember my brother and sister's name. I hope they forgive me. Join us on Wednesday for DJ Black Caesar with our hip-hop comedy show. On Thursday, come right back here at 8 p.m. for Nation Building Presents with Queen Aziza Miriam Muhammad. I don't know what the topic is going to be, but I know it's going to be dynamite. On Friday, 8 p.m., our live study group, Put on a New Man, with Student Minister James Muhammad. On Saturday, Young, Gifted, and Black. Sunday, 6:30 p.m., with Brother Jamil, The Time and What Must Be Done. And right back here on Monday, we're going to talk to Brother Ghazi Hamza Muhammad out of Las Vegas, Nevada, who started the Debris House. We're going to see what they're talking about. The topic of our show next week is Islam in Practical Application. And that's our lineup. Praise be to Allah. So what I want to do is now I want to thank everyone in the listening audience, everyone that has joined us in the chat room. I want to thank both Brother Reginald and Brother Eddie for joining me to discuss this topic and subject. I want to say that I hope and pray to Allah that something that we have shared tonight has been of value to those of you who have joined us. And someone has a hand up before we go. I'm going to bring them in. Area code 972, your mic is live.
As-salamu alaykum, my brother.
Wa alaykum salam.
As-salam, sir.
Yes, sir. This brother Charles L. Muhammad, I didn't get to listen to all the show, brother, but what
yes,
I
sir.
Did hear was good, and I just wanted to let you know, brother, that I will be downloading it, but I don't know when y'all going to put it up for me to download it so I can listen to the whole thing. I just got out of class tonight, brother.
All praise is due to it. I understand, brother. Well, it should be, when we go off the air, it should be ready in about 20 minutes to be downloaded. Also, within the next week or so, it will be available on YouTube.
Yes, sir, brother. Okay, brother.
Thank well, we want to
much,
thank
sir.
You, brother. Yes, sir. All praise is due to Allah. We want to thank you for joining us, brother. I understand.
Thank you, brother.
Yes, sir.
Islam
alaikum. All praise is due to Allah. Wa alaikum salam. Okay, so before we go, Brother Eddie, any closing remarks?
No, sir. Just agree to wear the peace of Islam alaikum. It's a pleasure to spend a couple of hours conversing with the family. And I'll be calling in next week and listening in to mighty teacher. So, thank you,
brother. all praise is due to Allah. Well, thank you, Black. I appreciate that. But again, as we always say, all praise is due to Allah. And Brother Reginald, any closing remarks?
Yes, sir, brother. I would just like to say that this was very enlightening, and I'm glad that I was a part of it. And I look forward to being a part of it next Monday. I have a question.
Go right ahead.
Is it always on the same number, the same telephone number?
Yes, sir, absolutely. Same number.
Okay, so I can lock it in.
Yes, sir, you can lock it in. Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Yes, sir, I'll pray due to Allah. All right, brother, let me know. As-salamu alaykum.
Wa alaikum salam. All right, on that note, again, I want to again thank everyone who joined in and participated. And remember, the thought is the act. The act is the fact. We either participate or we all dissipate. I want to leave you as we came with the greeting words of peace and paradise. We say it in the Arabic language, As-salamu alaykum.
Wa alaikum salam.
Wa alaikum salam, sir.
One nation, one love. Good night, y'all.